All right. Well, listen, this is going to be an interesting message here tonight, and I want to kind of plow through it, so I got to get moving here. But I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, please. And I've been preaching on the Antichrist, and I'm going to continue to preach on the Antichrist. And I'm going to present something to you through the scriptures here tonight that will make you think, okay? And I believe it's ironclad. I believe that I prove it through the scriptures that the Bible says this. But the title of this message is Satan's Son, the Incarnation of Iniquity. And I want to talk to you about the Antichrist being Satan's son and how he is the, or will be, he will be the incarnation of iniquity. And what the Bible says about that. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 3, because that's really where it starts. And I'm going to show you how Paul says this, how Moses said this, as he recorded from God, and how Jesus said the same thing, and Daniel. So many witnesses of this very thing, of what's being talked about. Very intricate. But you have to understand that Satan is a mimicker. That's what he is. He mimics everything. He's a mocker. Right? If there's any, if there's a Project Mockingbird, it's Satan. He is the head of that project, okay? And that's exactly what he does. But he is not God. But he sure wants to be. So let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Help us as we go through the scriptures, Lord. Show us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So there's two seeds that are being discussed here, right? There is the seed of the woman, which we know to be Jesus Christ. And there is the seed of Satan. Now, don't be confused with the Satan seed doctrine that is taught by people that says that, well, Eve had a child with Satan, and that was Cain, and that's how that happened, because that's taught out there. That is a perversion. It is a Kabbalistic perversion of the truth. That's all it is. It's a bunch of New Age nonsense is all it is. And it's been told for a long time. It's not true. But there is a truth that Satan will have a seed. But I'm going to show you that, okay? He will have one. All right, so the Bible foretold of the coming of the Antichrist. All the way back in Genesis, we could see at the beginning of the Bible, told us what would happen. That there would be a showdown between these two seeds. And there will be an end game and a war that ends it. But the question that might be asked is this. Is the Antichrist Satan's literal son? Yes. Absolutely. How that's all going to exactly play out, we don't know yet. We're not sure. Exactly. I think we can see how he's going to do it. I can explain to you how he's going to do it, but I can't explain to you every intricate detail. Because God's going to reveal that. What does the Bible say? He will be revealed in his time. So we don't know all the answers, but we are pointed in the direction. And God did give us all through the Word. So I guess the first thing is you have to understand about Satan. That's the first point I want to make tonight is, first look at how Satan has always mimicked God. Always. Listen to this. Do we read of Christ going forth to sow the good seed? Yes, turn to Matthew chapter 13. You're going to have to be quick tonight. I'm telling you. Lee, you're not going to be able to sleep, man. You're going to have to be quick tonight. You can't snooze. You ain't going to be all snore, man. You got to move tonight, man. Like one preacher said, when you get paid by the hour, you got to preach fast. That's a joke for anybody that listens. Everybody in here knows that, but I don't even know the video. Look, see? I told you. Oh, man. People are bored. Anyway. Another parable put he forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Who is that? That's Satan. Satan comes to sow. So Christ sows the good seed. What does Satan sow? The tares. He sows the tares. What is he doing? He's mimicking. Right? Imitation wheat. How close, oh my, would you think about this? How close is Satan's tares to actual wheat? So close, you can't tell the difference. None of us can. Not entirely. And I'll leave that right there. All right. Do we read of the children of God? Then we also read of the children of the wicked one. See? Satan always mimics. That's in Matthew 13:38. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. See that? Do we read of God working in his children both to will and to do of his good pleasure in Philippians 2:13? Yes, we do. Then we are also told that the prince of the power of the air is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See? See how he copies? Do we read of the gospel of God? Yes, we do. Then we also read that Satan has another gospel in Galatians 1. And let it be accursed. And so say now I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have heard, that which you have received, let him be accursed. Well, who's the one that preaches it? Satan. And he is that cursed one. And his ministers. I'm going to get to that too. The next one. Did Christ appoint apostles? Then Satan also has his apostles. Right? 2 Corinthians 11. Turn there. A lot of people read this, but they really don't believe it. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Ooh. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. It's no great thing. Are we told the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God? Satan also provides those deep things. Remember, the Antichrist is going to rise up and he's going to be able to interpret what? Dark sentences. How does he do that? By the power of Satan. Are we told that God by his angel will seal his servants in their foreheads in Revelation 7:3? So also we read that Satan by his angels will set a mark in the foreheads in Revelation 13 of his devotees. What is he doing? He's mocking everything God does. Mocking everything God does. He really does have a God complex. There's no turning back. He really does have that God complex, doesn't he? Yep, absolutely. Does the Father seek worshipers? They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So also does Satan. In Revelation 13, what does he say? He commands everybody to what? Bow down and worship him. Right? What do we see in 13:4? And they worship the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. We're going to talk about him maybe Sunday. We talk about the evil trinity. I was going to talk about today, but I couldn't get past this part. So I had to just stop and be like, okay, I'm just going to deal with the incarnation of evil, Satan's son. as the Antichrist, because I'm not going to be able to move on to that Trinity yet, because you have to understand this first. And then we can broaden it out to how all three are going to work together. Right? So the Bible says that he wants them to worship him. Did Christ quote Scripture? So also did Satan in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 6. Is Christ the light of the world? Then Satan also is transformed as an angel of light. How about that? We just read that, didn't we? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What happened? Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Christ is the light of the world. What are they after? What are the New Age after? What are all of them after? The gnosis, the knowledge, right? They want the light. And he is what? The light bearer, right? What do the Freemasons say? What are they after when they go to the lodge? They're after light, right? And the light of the lodge is who? Lucifer. They admit it, right? Manly P. Hall, Albert Pike. Makes sense, doesn't it? All right, so do we read that Christ has his angels? Yes, Matthew chapter 24 says Christ's angels shall gather together all the elect, right? Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. Then we also read of the devil and his angels in Matthew chapter 25. Turn there, Matthew chapter 25. You start to get the point that somebody's playing copycat. But he just ain't built like that, so he can't do it like God. But he just does it a step under that. But still a lot of power. But he's not God. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil has angels. Right? Is Christ denominated the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Yes, he is. Right? Then the devil is also referred to as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Why? Because he's a mocker. That's what he does. Right? He's a mocker. Did Christ work miracles? So also does Satan, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to work those same miracles. Who has power to do miracles in the sight of the beast? How about that? Yep. Did Christ work? Yep. Okay. So Christ is seated upon a throne. So also will Satan be seated in Revelation 2, chapter 3. I know where Satan's seat is, right? That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Christ has a church, then Satan has a synagogue, doesn't he? The synagogue of Satan. How about this? Christ has a bride and Satan has a whore. There's a difference in a bride and a whore. But the Bible says that he has a bride, right? Christ has a bride. Satan has a whore. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. See, when you start to do these comparisons, it starts to make sense. You set me up? Yep, I'm setting you up to understand exactly what's going on here, because then we're going to really get into it. Because you've got to understand this is all mimicking. But it has to be believable. Right? Revelation chapter 14, verse number 19. How about this? And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. You know, God has a vine, and so does Satan. That's Satan's vine. How about the vine of Sodom? The Bible talks about that's Satan's vine. Does God have a city, the New Jerusalem? Then Satan has a city, Babylon. Is there a mystery of godliness? We talked about that. So is there a mystery of iniquity? Now, we're going to get into that tonight because you've got to be able to do a fair comparison. You can't say one is one thing and the other one, well, no, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Wait a minute. I'm going to prove to you that the context is the same thing. Because there's people out there, I've seen them on Facebook, and I think it's a reaction to all the Antichrist sermons that I'm putting up right now. But there's a reaction somebody said on there today. They were like, everybody thinks that the Antichrist will be an actual man. Says he's a man. Just I mean, it says he's a man. No, it's not really a man. It's like a this and a that. No, it says he's a man. It's called the man of sin, the son of perdition. Last time I checked, that's a man. And he's got a father, which we're going to get to. Okay, does God have an only begotten son? So we read of the son of perdition. Is Christ called the seed of the woman? Then the Antichrist will be the seed of the serpent. Is the Son of God also the son of man? Then the son of Satan will also be the man of sin. See all the comparisons? See how he mocks at every step of the way? He mocks Christ, and so will he mocks the Father. The dragon mocks God. We'll get to that on Sunday. We'll deal with the dragon. We'll deal with who he is and who he represents and everything like that. We know he's Satan, but you'll understand better when we go through that. But after tonight, you'll understand better his relationship. Okay? So we see that Satan mimics all the miracles and everything else. That's his practice. But this all ends up in a physical manifestation of Satan in the flesh through the Antichrist. The greatest lie ever told. But it's not a new lie. It's the same old lie. And I'm going to show you that. Man will fall for it and will be consumed by the incarnation of iniquity. So, let's go. Number one here. Or is this number two? This would be number two, technically. The Bible tells us that there is a mystery of iniquity. So, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. We're going to start here, and then we're going to move through all the scriptures that deal with the Antichrist being Satan's son. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Amen. God was manifest in the flesh. Okay, stop. Do you think Satan's going to mimic that? Was there anything that God has done that Satan hasn't mimicked? Think. Nope. Everything. Everything about the attributes of God, everything about God I just showed you, he mimics. And Scripture, if you believe you have a perfect Bible, then you look at the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness. What is it? And what? How will he pull over the greatest lie ever? Because it's the oldest lie that has ever been told. That's how. Right? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's God. That's Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. We know that God's Holy Spirit has always been at work as well in his children. So then you have the mystery of iniquity, okay? 1 Timothy, right. The mystery of iniquity, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, turn there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery, now we're going to compare. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Stop. So what does that mean? Just as God's Spirit has always worked in his children, right, to will and to do of his good pleasure, so Satan's spirit has been at work in what? The children of disobedience. That's how the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's how it's always worked. It's not that the manifestation of Satan has not come yet. But his spirit is working. It's called the spirit of Antichrist, or the mystery of iniquity. From the beginning, his job was to do something. In his mind, anyway. After he fell. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Who's that wicked? The Antichrist. He's going to be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him. Pay attention to these words. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. It's after his working. His work. The Antichrist is Satan's work. With all power and signs and lying wonders, which we're going to see in the sight of the beast, right? We see that in Revelation 13. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, they might be saved. That is directly talking about the Antichrist appearing. That's what that's talking about. Do you notice how it says the mystery of iniquity? Where is that? Who is being talked about in that verse? In those verses, who's being talked about? Who's the wicked one? Who's that wicked shall be revealed? Who is that? The Antichrist. Who is the son of perdition, the man of sin? The Antichrist. Why is he called the mystery? Why is the mystery of iniquity mentioned there? Because the context is that spirit works in the children of disobedience, and then one day the incarnation is going to happen. One day he's going to be incarnated into the Antichrist. He'll have a coming. That's right. Just like Jesus had a coming, he'll have a coming. Now, compare the two, the context of the two. What is the mystery of godliness? God was manifest in the flesh. Bingo, right there. Plain as day. That's the context. Mystery of iniquity, mystery of godliness. The context is the Antichrist versus Christ. He's going to mock it. He's always mocked it. It's not new. So what do you mean, preacher, it's not new? All right, let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 again. All right? Go back to the beginning. Something important here. Because number 3 here, this further is explained in Genesis and by Christ. Christ explains, shows it in Genesis, explains it. And I will put enmity, Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Did the woman have a seed? Yes. Christ is the seed of the woman. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. Turn there. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He was made of a woman, made under the law, right? Usually the seed follows the father, right? In this case, it is called the seed of the woman. The man usually carries the seed. Jesus is God and came forth from God. Notice the incarnation in Luke chapter 1, verse number 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She says, how is this going to happen? I've never been with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Very plainly, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That's the incarnation. That's what? The mystery of godliness. That is the seed of the woman. Now, the serpent has a seed. And no, we're not talking about the infamous serpent seed doctrine, like I said earlier, that's taught that Eve fornicated with the devil and Cain was his offspring. That's been taught by some. Because they take this verse, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, stop. Is it true that Cain was of the wicked one? Yes, the Bible says so. How? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I want you to follow me here. I'm going to show you something, okay? Satan is going to mock God, correct? He always has. He always will. So, there was one incarnation of Christ, and there will be one incarnation of Antichrist. It's not going to be mimicked over and over and over again. No. No, his grand scheme is going to be fulfilled at the end with the Antichrist. So the serpent seed doctrine that is taught by those people that Cain is, that's foolishness. First of all, it doesn't match the type. It doesn't match what happens. No, the spirit is working through Cain and through all the children of the wicked one, all the way through to the end, and then what happens? the Antichrist comes on the scene. He manifests. Just like God's Spirit worked on all the children of God all the way up and through. And then what happened? Jesus came. Right? He's going to mimic it. It won't be an exact type because he can't do that. It's going to be a mockery. It's going to be a mockery of it. But the Spirit has always worked in the children of disobedience, just as Christ's Spirit worked in the prophets. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. It says the Spirit of Christ was already in them, just like the Spirit was in the children of disobedience. The Spirit was in God's prophets, the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of Christ was in them. Makes sense, right? Jesus explains the lie to the Pharisees. Now, this is what you have to get. I want you to go to, this is another key to this, to understand this. Turn to John chapter 8, please. I want you to pay attention because this is what really made things very plain to me in understanding exactly what is going on here. John chapter 8. Verse number 41, I believe, is where we start. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Yep. Jesus said, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now, quickly, or pay attention very closely, okay? Ye are of your father, the devil. What does he mean? Well, by the way, that means that Satan is a father. See that? All right, now. Understand this, he's not saying they are the literal seed, the incarnation of the Antichrist. No, he's not saying that. He's saying they have the same spirit. Because there's only going to be one mocked incarnation. Just like there was one, just like Christ came and incarnated once. Okay? You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now, I had to stop there and I had to think about that for a minute because it bothered me. Because I started to think like, well, all these people say, you know, he was a murderer. So all these people say, well, if Cain was of that wicked one, so that must be the murder. No, that's not what he's talking about. You got to understand the context. Here's what he's talking about. When he says Satan was a murderer from the beginning. Here's how he was a murderer. Pay attention very closely. Wake up or you're all going to do jumping jacks. All right? Here, listen. I know it's Wednesday and you're tired, but pay attention. All right? Listen up. Here's how he was a murderer from the beginning. He killed Eve. How? Well, if I deceive somebody and I say, hey, if you go through that door over there, it's great. There's a great place for you over there if you just walk through that door. And if you walk through that door and you got shot, and I knew that, and I knew full well that you were going to get shot if you walked through that door, then what did I do? I aided in your death. I'm an accomplice to that. You know, I did that. I could have stopped you from doing that, but I didn't. I helped you do it. In fact, I was like part of it because I colluded. I knew what was on the other side of that door. I knew there was 20 men there that was going to jump you and kill you, and I didn't do it. And I told you to go through that door and you'd be fine. But I had perfect knowledge of knowing that wasn't the truth. Well, I'm a murderer then. I murdered them by doing that. Satan murdered Eve. He aided in her murder. Why? What did he say? But see, here's the tricky part. Here's the part that you got to use. You got to put on your scriptural glasses here and take a look at and ask the Holy Ghost to show you to make sense very plainly here. How did he do it? He did it with the lie. How did he do it? He did it with Antichrist. That's how he did it. What do you mean? Well, what did he promise her? He said, Eve, ye shall not surely die. Well, you liar. What are the Google gods trying to get? What are they trying to make possible now? Live forever. God, ye shall be as gods. He murdered her with a lie. The same lie that he holds to today. The same lie that will manifest in the flesh coming soon. Same lie. Nothing's changed. Same old lie. The promise of eternal life without God, the promise that ye shall attain godhood. What did Jesus say then? He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now check this out. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Who's his own? His son, the Antichrist. He speaketh of his own when he speaketh a lie, for he is a liar and the father of it. The lie. He's the father of the lie that you can live without God. And who is going to come and manifest in the flesh and tell you that you can be a God? Just take this mark and you can live forever. The Antichrist. And Jesus was saying, you're the father of it. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer. He murdered them. He did. And he abode not in the truth. Right? And abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. He promised them eternal life. That's what the Antichrist is going to promise his followers. Right? There's a threefold truth there, with that a threefold reason which may be suggested as to why the Antichrist should be termed and called a lie. First, because his fraudulent claim to be the real Christ will be the greatest falsehood played off upon humanity. Second, because he is the direct antithesis of the real Christ, who is the truth. He is the complete opposite of Christ. Not completely, because Christ is God, but you know what I mean. Third, because he is the son of Satan, who is the arch liar. He speaks of his own, because it's his son. What does it say? It says, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Nothing could be plainer than this. The Antichrist is expressly declared to be superhuman, the son of perdition. I'm telling you, when he comes on the scene, there isn't going to be, the appeal is going to be so strong. And when I just look at this stupid video, this tattoo, and I see all these people that are like, oh man, that's really great. That's really cool. Do you think it's going to be hard to sell that? I mean, I'm telling you, it's not going to be hard to sell that to anybody. They're going to run for it, the Lost Star. They're going to run. You got an ache in your back? Well, if you just get this implanted, we can fix that. Yeah, and you'll live forever. Well, actually, they're going to live for about 5 months and not die. Right? But it's not going to be a party. But they're not going to die. They're going to seek death and not die. Right? They're going to seek death and not die. They're going to live 5 months, and they're going to be invincible. You can't get run over by a truck to kill you. Nothing can kill you. What did the Bible say? God said he what? He would send them strong delusion. Okay, you want to be alive? Here's 5 months. You won't die. Here come these stinging. Ooh, creepy. Right? Here come the hybrids. Hey, that's a good sermon. Here come the hybrids. Man, Luke could do some really cool stuff with that green screen. And here come the higher. Oh man, we're not giving him any ideas. All right. Anyway, so are you following me so far? Do you see this? Do you understand? Satan has a seed that he's going to appear. There's going to be an end game that the Bible talks about. There's going to be an incarnation of that evil. He's going to come on the scene, and he's going to come after the working of Satan. Here, just as Christ dwelt in the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and just as Christ could say, "He that has seen me has seen the Father," so the Antichrist will be the full and final embodiment of the devil. He will not only be the incarnation of the devil, but the consummation of his wickedness and power. Do you realize? Okay. You're going to have a man that is going to be completely made of Satan. Incarnated with Satan completely. And no one in this world is going to be able to stop him. Do you understand that? So you take man to the height of his depravity and put no restraint on him. That's evil, friend. That's very evil. Very dangerous. Mm-hmm. It will take God himself to come to stop him. Jesus will come and destroy him because no one on this earth will be able to. You understand that? No one. He comes with all power. All right, next let's go to the Old Testament witnesses. Now this is where it's going to get interesting. Let's see. The book of Ezekiel. Let me see. Let me get you the exact reference here. I left my reference out for some reason. Ezekiel chapter 28. Sorry about that. Ezekiel chapter 28. Okay, now. This gets extremely interesting, and we're going to have to read like almost, well, most of the chapter. Ezekiel chapter 20, because this is the Old Testament bearing witness to the Antichrist being Satan's son. All right? Ezekiel chapter 28. And start with verse number 1 there. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God. Now, you're going to start to notice that, wait a minute, this guy sounds like Isaiah chapter 14. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I will do this. I will be like the Most High. Watch who he's talking to, though. This is the prince, and then we're going to read about the king. And you'll find out real quick, wait, this ain't normal. This is different. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up. Who's that? Who said? Uh-oh. Check this out. And thou hast said, I am a God, and I sit in the seat of God. Wait a minute. Yeah, is it capitalized? Yep, it is. All right, now stop. Where did we find that at? Where did we read about that at? What's our text usually? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Right? He will sit in the temple of God, saying he is God. Capital. Who's this talking about? The Antichrist. Because thine heart is lifted up. What does the Bible say about him in Daniel? It says he will magnify himself in his own heart. There you go. Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God and in the midst of the seas. Oh, what is the midst of the seas? Where does the Antichrist come out of? Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1, says that he was looking, and then boom, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Who's he talking about? Antichrist. Very clearly, very plainly. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man. Oh, so he's a man. Yeah. And not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Wait a minute. So there's a man that's going to come and he's going to set his heart. He's going to say, he's going to sit in the temple of God saying he is God. Yeah, this guy. this same guy. Look what he says. God says this. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Now, what a king of fierce countenance arises, and what is he able to do? Interpret what? Dark sentences. Starting to get the picture? There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now, this is spooky. Okay? All right, now, check this out. You see this phone, right? We have, like, the NSA. We have all the these people, like, listening into our recorder, recording all our devices, recording all the pictures, recording everything, tracking us, doing all this other stuff, right? Right? Remember, he's not God, so what is he going to have? He's going to be hooked into the one, the cloud. He's going to be hooked into the thing that records everybody. See, listen, NSA is not capable right now of monitoring every single. They record them, but they can't monitor every single thing. But what is going to be able to monitor every single thing? Take a guess. AI. Artificial intelligence. It will be able to monitor every single thing. Yeah, they can record everything now, but they can't go through everything now. Not yet. But with the rise of AI, the ability to pick up things and to do things, they are going to. And how? There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Nobody's going to be able to hide anything from them. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. So he's going to be a very wise man and very wealthy man. Have a lot of understanding, very wise and very wealthy. And has gotten gold and silver to thy treasures. By thy great wisdom. Where does he get that wisdom from? The dragon gave him his seat, his power, and his authority. The dragon gives him everything. His father, he gets it from his father. Remember, this is the prince. We haven't talked about the king yet. This is the prince. A prince has a king, right? Right, a prince's dad is the king, right? That's how that works, yeah. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. What traffic? All kinds of traffic. Right? All kinds of traffic. And by the way, that word traffic, if you study that in the King James Bible, there's more references to the devil, right? And the end times and everything. By thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. What does it say? His heart will be lifted up. Right? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God, and in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. I find it interesting. It says, thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised. Why? Because the Antichrist is going to be a Jew. That's why he said that. Because Christ was a Jew. I have an opinion that he's going to be possibly Jewish and Syrian mixed. I have an opinion about that. But anyway, the man from Kirioth. But it's just an opinion. Moreover, okay, now let's get into his father. That was the prince. Son of man. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Who's that? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, there was only three in that garden, right? Besides God, obviously. There was Adam, Eve, Satan. That was it. Absolutely beautiful, yep. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets. We talked about that. You can go back and listen to the Satan series. And in that Satan series, I cover that. The music, like that Satan was the instrument of music in heaven. He didn't play music in heaven. He was the instrument of music in heaven. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. It was prepared in thee. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. This gets people mad at me sometimes, but it says thou art. It doesn't say thou wast. I believe he still has access. I believe he does. I've had disagreements with people over Revelation chapter 12 and that, but I still believe that he has access. Somewhat. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Well, the Bible talks about that, right? And he abode not in the truth. Because he's a murderer. Right? He had the truth, but he abode not in the truth. Look at this. It says, by the multitude of thy merchandise. But it's interesting that it talks about iniquity. It says, till iniquity was found in thee. In thee. Yes, very subtle. That's right. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. Now that's interesting right there. Satan has sanctuaries. Lucifer had sanctuaries. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. Look at this. By the iniquity of thy traffic. Walking to and fro in the earth, going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. Trafficking all day long, constantly trafficking. To what? Devour, destroy, deceive, discourage, depress. Right? That's what he does. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. That's what's going to happen to the king of Tyrus and the prince of Tyrus. The Bible says they're both going to be brought down in the sight and said, you're not a god. Right? I believe that's a description of the Antichrist and Satan. Right there. Plain as day, I believe. Because, first of all, there was no king of Tyrus that was in the Garden of Eden. None. So you have the prince and you have the king. And then, to finish it off here tonight, get you out on good behavior, man. I'm telling you, this is quick. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 43. Remember that word seed that we talked about? That enmity between the seeds? Daniel chapter 2, verse number 43. Actually, verse number 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. That's the final kingdom. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, I don't know why some people can't get this. I think it's because they don't want to, because it scares them. And I understand that. I get it. But here's the point. Something other than... Okay, is it fair to say that something other than the seed of men is mingling itself here with the seed of men? Is that pretty plain? Because that's what it says. I mean, it really is what it says. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another. Even as iron is not mixed with clay. Right? So the Bible says that they will mingle their seed. Now, I just, today, somebody sent me this video a few days ago. I think it was Joshua. Joshua sent me this video. The artificial womb. Did you send me that? The artificial womb to grow lambs in, and they grew them in this artificial womb. Now, you have the symbiosis that they're trying to make, the merging of man with machine right now. You have the electronic tattoos that you can watch the video on. It's not some spooky, crazy Baptist preacher that made that video. All right? No, that's just mainstream, okay? That's just mainstream. Right? Okay, so they make this video. They're telling, what are they doing? Well, this is how, you know, you could be like a cyborg. It's really cool. What's my point? My point is that there is something coming, right? The singularity that is going to merge man with machine and merge those seeds together, that iron mixed with clay and that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that ghost in the machine, that spirit is going to work, and this is what's coming. Yep. Clay. Iron. I know. It's so plain. And Google says it too. Google says, hey, we're going to do it. Yeah, miry clay, yeah. Yeah. Google says, we're going to do it. And one of that Elon Musk said, and we got to be careful. We're going to bring up a devil or something. We're going to bring up a demon. You're going to bring him up? Yeah, you are. Who is he? Satan. You're going to bring on the Antichrist. And that is how I believe the mocking and the mimicking is going to take place. Right here. And that merging that takes, because he's not God. He can't do what God can do. He can't create anything. He can only distort, pervert, and destroy. And he can cause mutations and mutate things. But with the power of that machine and man together, I mean, there's stuff coming out. I can't even keep up with it. Like, it just keeps, I want to do an OPVC online about it, and then all of a sudden, like, something else gets added to it. And there's like some creepy robot that comes up, and it's like, okay, I just saw it today. Remember, we're going to talk about this, and they're after your jobs. These robots are after your jobs. I'm not kidding you. The mailman better look out. He better not ask for any overtime. He better not ask for any health benefits or anything like that, because the robots come and do the job. The dog is delivering. The robot dog made by Boston, what was that called? Boston Mediterranean, I don't know if that's what, I can't remember what it's called, but anyway, this Boston, I think it's owned by DARPA. DARPA, Boston Dynamics, the DARPA devil company. Bunch of devils. This robot just, it delivers packages. How long before you don't have to pay a UPS guy $100,000 a year? Right? Right? And you do not want some like Terminator cop out there with no conscience killing everybody. They're about like that now, but I mean, some of them anyway. But we don't want to see that. There's still some good police officers left. We don't want to see any Terminators out there. But that's something else. That's for tomorrow maybe. But the point is that you see this rise of this kingdom. And I know this stuff isn't comfortable because nobody wants to just like bring it out to what's going on today. No, let's make the Bible this ancient book that has no applicability for today at all. That's all. Oh, Daniel was talking about. What did somebody say one time what Daniel was talking about? Oh, my goodness. Like Chinese soldiers are in Revelation. Those things. No, those aren't hybrid. Those are Chinese soldiers. Yeah. Oh, okay. I've never seen a Chinese soldier look like that before. But anyway, the point is that all this stuff is happening. The Antichrist to come on the scene, he is Satan's son, and he will manifest, and there will be a showdown, and there will be a war. And that's not comfortable, because we're like, well, how is this going to... You know what? We don't have all the answers. But the Bible does tell us very plainly that Satan is going to have a son. And yes, there are many Antichrists that have went out in the world, but there's one man of sin that's coming. That's going to manifest in the flesh and is going to be evil incarnate. Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Help us to cling to it. Help us, Lord, to study it, to show ourselves approved unto God, to believe it in these last days, Lord, to hold on to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.